Yeah, well, we, you know, I suppose the more people are saying they enjoy it, the more you validate the fact that, that you're proud of it. So, yeah, no, I think we're all riding pretty high on it, to be honest, man. It's feeling good.
Yeah, because you've had, like, the opportunity to, like, hang out with, like, listeners and dancers and fans over the past few weeks, right? How did, like, the little, like, launch parties and record store visits you folks did go?
Great. We did a bit of a we launched it at Northside and had a bit of an after party at Runner Up in Collingwood, and that was awesome fun. We were there as they were, like, sweeping us out the door at the very end of the night. So we had a lot of fun.
Hell yeah. It's good. It's great to be able to sort of bask in your own glory a little bit, but also hold space with the folks who are going to be listening to the music. I think that's sick.
For sure. Yeah. Well, you know, we definitely reserve the right to finally bask in our own glory after we take so long to make an album.
Yeah.
I don't let myself you know, breathe that sigh of relief until it is, like, completely fully done, and especially when it's out, and you kind of forget that you're holding on to it until you party, and then you're like, oh, thank God, you know, it's out, and it's you know, people like it, so it's a very good feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, it goes from being something, like, intensely insular to something very open. When did those, like, first bricks that made Chorus start getting laid?
They started pretty shortly after Automatic. I actually think we kind of started writing before Automatic was released. Oh no, we definitely did. And Return to Centaurus was the first one that came together, and they came together really fast. And then I think Future Life soon after that. But there was a lot of tour interruptions between Automatic and Chorus. So we were constantly, like, having little 2 or 3 month writing clusters and then having to go away for months at a time. So, it did allow us to refine this record a lot more than we have before. You know, we mentioned before that we'd kind of demoed it so thoroughly that it virtually sounded like a finished album already. And then we went back to square one and completely recorded it, you know, the way, the proper way, you know? So yeah, the bricks were laid many years ago now, kind of 3 years ago, but, you know, it's the chiseling that takes the longest time for us, you know, because we're pretty fussy. So, you know, if a guitar tone's not quite right, or, you know, we don't feel like we nailed a vocal, you know, or whatever, any facet of it, you know, a reverb is 2 milliseconds too long. You know, these things take a long time for us to make sure that we're all as a group happy with it too. So, yeah.
Yeah, sick. I saw on the Bandcamp liner notes, if you can call that. I guess they're not really lining anything. that you recorded and engineered either the full record or Return to Centaurus. It says Return to Centaurus, but it's on the Chorus page. Was wearing, like, those two hats, I guess, a challenge for you?
Yeah, it is sometimes. Like, I did some work on Phase, and then Automatic and Chorus as well. So I'm pretty used to that role in the band. Like, we all have roles in the band that sit outside of just playing the music together that are quite niche. Tom does all the design. Kev's a great photographer and videographer, and Adzi's a really mean DJ and you know, multi-skilled instrumentalist too. So they're kind of, we all have our area that we, that we're responsible for outside of just the main instrument that we do. So the most challenging thing is just, I wish I had, like, an assistant sometimes, because it sucks having to, like, be in the middle of a jam and then, like, be thinking, okay, hang on, did I record enable that track? Am I actually capturing Adzi's flute right now? Or are we going to have to go back and do this again? Or constantly having to get up and, you know, tweak things, or headphone mixes, that sort of thing, that sort of non-creative stuff is a drag. But I think, you know, maybe one day I'll have a great little assistant, and they can just, you know, they can press play and record and all the annoying, turn my headphones up, that sort of stuff. But the challenge of recording is never really, the challenge for us is in the, our like performance. You know, we want to make sure that we have played, we've written the songs well enough to be then arranged well enough to then be played well enough to then be recorded. And I think we've made recording hard for ourselves in the past, and anyone would do this where they maybe record too prematurely and just the performance isn't there yet. And this time I feel like we really had enough time in the overall process to make sure that we got a really good performance in the recording thing. So the recording for this was a breeze, you know.
Yeah, I love that full circle nature of it. Because sometimes you chat to other folks and they're like, oh, it's literally impossible to have the record reflected in live performances. Like, we switch it up and that's wonderful and fun. But being able to fully realize what you wrote, recorded, maybe wrote again and then like recorded is sick. So things got like road tested quite a lot over that big sort of 3-year period with touring as well.
Yeah, little bits and pieces. We tend to, Ad is usually pretty keen to play new stuff straight away as a way to kind of bang it into shape. And I guess Tom's sort of keen on that too. And I think Kev and I are maybe a little less keen on doing too much new stuff that is unreleased, because I don't know, you know, you want the quality to be there. Mm-hmm. And what we tend to do is leave that stuff for the improv moments in the set, and we'll, you know, throw out ideas that we know that we're sort of semi-familiar with as a way to kind of beat that into shape. And that definitely created some blobs that we then took into the studio and turned into songs for the last 3 years of touring, yeah, for sure. But I suppose the improvisational stuff, I think I prefer personally for our new material to kind of surface in that part of the set. And that's just because I'm really trying to put myself in the audience's shoes. And I think that's where, if I was watching a band like us, that's where I'd want to see new stuff. I wouldn't want to see it as the opening song or the, you know, the encore or something. You know, I'd want to see the band playing with new ideas, but then I also want to hear stuff that I'm familiar with, you know?
Yeah, I think it also creates this lovely kind of like mild life universe for listeners, in that, you know, maybe saw you folks last year, so you came to like a Frio Arts Centre and you might have heard a little motif, cool, a riff or something in the middle of a set. You sit down this week, you listen to chorus and you're like, yo, that is like that riff or like a variation of it.
Yeah.
And through line for people who, you know, invest a lot of time or find meaning in your music is sick.
Awesome. Yeah, that's definitely that. I always like hearing, like, or reading a comment on YouTube or something of someone being like, they played this in 2019 when they're on tour with Gears or whatever. And I'm like, ah, oh, did we? I can't believe it. Like, something as insignificant as a small riff was memorable. So it's always good hearing that's, you know, that someone gets something out of it.
Yeah. And so much of this album is full of tiny little details, which all sort of come together. One of the ones that leapt out for me a lot personally was lyrics and human voices, which have always obviously been present in your music. But for some reason, particularly this morning, just listening at my desk in headphones, really like jumped out at me. Did you folks decide to emphasize like lyrics or at least sing a little bit more on this one? Or am I just hell off the mark?
Yeah. No, not at all, no. And that's something that we're constantly surprised about, how much, you know, doing press and talking to friends and family, how much they're referring to the vocals in this as being, you know, more present and of a certain quality.
I think the album title definitely helps with kind of putting it in front of mind, but please continue.
Yeah, absolutely. No. That's a great point too. You know, we were conscious of the sort of multiple meaning interpretation of such a broad word, so that, and we had considered that too as a band. But the I suppose the vocals, you know, we were all keen to sing together as well. It's something that we want to get really good at, and you know, singing as a group. And I've always loved, we've always loved like the sound of a band singing together, it just sounds massive, and you get such a like a high resolution picture of like what the band is when they're playing and singing together. I just think it makes the band sound huge. And I guess we also figured out how to record vocals in a way that was efficient and like fun and pleasing and actually got the best results. And that's down to the person too, you know, like Adzi really likes to record his vocals himself by himself. This time we figured out that like me assisting Kev, like me punching in Kev's vocals with him was like the quickest, most fun, efficient way. I like to do mine by myself and kind of mic up right next to my computer so I can just punch in lines after lines and make sure it's all good. And we're also really, really staunch. Well, maybe not really staunch, but we were certain that we wanted absolutely no auto-tune or anything on this record. Mm-hmm. So it meant that we had to really step up and be like, no, if we have to do 25 takes of one line of this to get the best pitch and performance, like that's what we're doing. And I think for me as an engineer too, that helps achieve an older sound. And it also creates a slight chorusing effect of all the vocals together, which again plays into the title as well. So we were looking back, we were focused on vocals, and it was also the first album that we've really been collaborative with lyrics, writing the lyrics together and, you know, getting a whiteboard out and throwing stupid phrases at it until they start to sound less stupid. So, yeah.
Yeah. With like the lyrics, did you just sit down and be like, here's some themes, here's some like cool words, here's the song titles? Like where do you all start if you're doing it as a group?
All of the above. It's very like Mild Life is a jam from the like smallest infinitesimal strand of DNA right the way up. And so like every part of the collaboration takes on that format. So, you know, we might start like usually if we're writing a song, it's very, very rare. Maybe never that a lyric has come first. It's always like the music grows the lyrics, or, mm-hmm. or you know, and so we'll have a Google Drive filled with, you know, a lot of jams, a lot of music, and then we'll refine them into an arrangement, and then demo those, and then from there we'll start to throw out words that might relate to, I don't know, the file name of the jam, you know, and usually the file name of the jam is something really stupid. And then, you know, just it, basically anything that will help grow an idea. You know, for instance, Tom's like very visual, really visual person. And so he'll have a really good, he'll be able to create some thrust behind an idea when he's describing the feeling of the song and the movement of the song and maybe the like hypothetical location. Then once you've got a location, there's might be some characters, and before you know it, you've really written down some really stupid things, and then you can, you know, refine it from there. But I think it's just very much like you just follow what feels right, and if it feels right for the group, then it's right. And that was definitely part of this, you know, this idea really, this album is for us to work together in the most fun and compatible way. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cause if you read any press, be it from your folks or like other publications, everything in the nicest way is like, this album is a mess. It's all over the place, but in the most perfect way. Like they have tied together so many random little bits with like this wonderfully organic sort of semi psychedelic groove. And it's so interesting to hear that like messiness and wild attention to detail carries over to like the entire recording process. Like it's so cool to see that the record is such a great reflection of how you folks work and create and think about music.
Yeah. Well, that's nice, man. Thanks very much. I'm glad that's coming across.
I'm really glad you briefly mentioned like visuals and characters and stuff, because I did have like one kind of curly question for you to put you on the spot. If you had to pick one track on the album to be turned into a music video, what would it be and then what's the premise for the video? And as I typed this, I was like, they might already have a music video in the works, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
For sure, yeah. Well, of the ones we've done for the record, like we've done videos for Centaurus and Musica, but I suppose for us, music videos are always, you know, we're always trying to work to the constraints of budget, the constraints of time. And so any project that we workshop with a director or something, we're always trying to make sure that we get a concept that we can really explore with those limitations. So if your question includes an absolutely budgetless, it's just free for all?
Go wild. Oh, yeah. Okay. This is like...
I would choose core. I'd choose the title track, the instrumental, and it would be a like a Mad God style claymation, and it would take 26 years to make, and the band is probably finished by that point, and we're maybe we're still going, I'd like to pick a director that's willing to go insane and then come back from that insanity and then go insane again for 26 years and make this claymation thing that goes for 9.5 minutes. It has to be claymation. You know, we've always wanted to do stop motion, but it's just so expensive. And if budget wasn't a thing, it would be a very strange, very cosmic stop motion.
It brings to mind, you know, when I was a kid, like watching that like trapdoor show, and they always have this like slime and stuff like spilling out of people's heads, and just like, yeah, I can see it. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah,
I'll hang out for another 26 years, and check it out upon my own retirement. are there any big outside influences, either contemporary or vintage, that like hit you while recording?
Yeah, well, you know, we kind of take most of our inspiration from old music, you know, and that's not really a conscious thing so much as just the four of us. That's what inspires us is you know, music from the past, and kind of dragging it, kicking and screaming into 2024. So I guess the influences for this record. It's tough because there's it would have to be, there's influences for the artwork, there's influences for the recording style, there's influences for the instrumentation or the arrangement, you know, like we definitely looked at the late 70s as kind of like the peak of analog recording and also a real intersection of like, very, very sophisticated arranging, but not vibeless, sort of click track hell, session musician wankery. And there seems to be a sort of real perfection peak in, you know, 76 to 79, 80. And we took a lot of inspiration from the music of that era. And, you know, we always have. But definitely for this record, I feel like it's something that we kept coming back to, and we kept coming back to that period in different, you know, different genres, different continents. So that's probably why the album, people are saying, you know, I don't hear it, and the band don't really hear the fact that it's, you know, all over the shop. But I totally understand that that's how someone would hear it, because to us, it just sounds like you're locked on a radio station somewhere in that time frame. And maybe you're flicking the dial around, but, you know, you've got some Italo disco in there, and you've got some, you know, some strange Mediterranean stuff, and some strange, some Japanese stuff, and some American stuff, and some English stuff. And, you know, I guess, I think too, recording-wise, I was really, just to speak to something that that I know for sure that I was really influenced by, was just going for a natural sound, but it's tough because when you record like sounds in that style, you can they can all sound a bit vacuum sealed and a bit sort of too airtight, too claustrophobic. So one thing for this, I was really interested in like capturing like the drums, for instance, in a so they felt like you were in the room, but not making them too kind of I don't know, not overly perfect or anything. And that's kind of in the style of, any band from that era. I know it's such a rambling answer, man, and I am sorry, but I guess the influence for this is the best answer I can give you is if you want to know what influences my life, you should check out Very Fantastic Radio, which is our monthly radio show, because we are constantly putting our music and our influences on that. So there you go. It's a plug for that.
Sick. Perfect. And it's a very broad question. So the ramble's super appreciated because, again, it just builds to this massive atmosphere of cultural detritus and creativity that I think surrounds you folks and the album. It's really cool. You have the chance to take it on the road in like 2 or so months, heading over to Europe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You folks have toured there before, right?
Yeah, this will be third or fourth. I think the boys went over once just before I joined the band, just the one time. So I think this is our fourth time there. But we're pumped. We're pumped to, you know, every time you go, you're playing, you know, slightly bigger rooms and to more fans and, you know, got maybe a little more time for some cuisine in there too. So that's kind of, we're excited too, because the touring's less grueling, even though we've got a lot of shows this year for the record, they're smaller stints. You know, we've done, 13 weeks away before, and that's just like not fun after week five, you know? So, yeah. So this time it's kind of more like 3 or 4 weeks max, and then come home and, you know, rediscover, life, you know, because we've all got, you know, families and partners and you know, other interests as well, other projects. And, you know, so we're, you know, we love the band and it's all our absolute favorite thing. But, you know, being able to tour for 3 or 4 weeks is so much more fun than touring for 3 months at a time. That's just, you know, unless you've got a private jet Zeppelin style, it's not much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All the fun without any of the negatives. It sounds great. Europe, you're back in Australia. You folks will be playing at Frio Social here in Wallulup on the 21st of June. I'm mad keen for that. I'm sure a bunch of RTR listeners are as well. Thanks so much for joining me, man.
Man, thanks so much for the great questions, man. It was a pleasure.